Well, it's not a pre-game or a post-game podcast. It's just a Panthers podcast. And we're going to be looking back at action from the weekend and also discussing the announcement of Panthers' new head coach, Jonathan Paradis. I'm Jono Bullard, and I'm delighted to say joining me is Panthers DJ Ken Feast and former Panthers netminder Dan Green. How are you, gents?
Evening, everyone.
Yeah, evening. Good to be here, Jono.
Before we move on to our new head coach and discussing his appointment, we'll take a quick look back at the weekend. Panthers, of course, playing in the playoff Final Four. A 6-3 loss to the Belfast Giants, who went on to win the playoff title overall on Sunday. And they followed that up with a 7-4 loss to the Sheffield Steelers in the third, fourth placed Hangover Cup final. So, guys, you were both there. What did you make of the weekend overall? Dan, you go first.
I thought it was really good. I think, obviously, last year's one, you know, coming out of COVID, you know, wasn't as well attended. It probably didn't have the same kind of zing as it normally does. But I thought this one was really good, you know, really good crowd, you know, some fans from every team. Obviously, I think it helped having Nottingham and Sheffield there. Obviously, they fill up a lot of the blocks. And I thought it was good. I thought, you know, all the games were, you know, evenly contested. There weren't any sort of, you know, one-sided easy wins. I thought the final was really good. You know, it kind of came down to the last 8 or 10 minutes. Obviously, this the one of the semi-finals overtime. So I don't think there was much more you could ask for, really. I thought it was a pretty good advert for Elite League hockey.
Ken?
Yeah, I think, it was enjoyable just to be there and sort of the atmosphere, see everyone, catch up with familiar faces. I think in terms of the results, there's part of me that was kind of, I think it's just one of the inherent parts of being a Panthers fan that you kind of have no hope and then all of a sudden get your hopes up over the run-in that we had in those sort of to qualify for the weekend. I think we probably surprised ourselves by getting there a little bit. And so then all of a sudden my expectations went from, I just want to end the season to where we could actually win the playoffs. So that was soon knocked out of me on Saturday afternoon. I think, I don't know whether 6-3 was reflective of the battle that we put up. I mean, we fired plenty of shots in, we just didn't convert. And I felt that, you know, in terms of net minding, there were some sort of things that let us down there. And I think that was, you know, not pointing the finger, other than it's just, you know, you need on a game like that, you need an absolute stud performance. And I think that it just wasn't quite there for us. And the Belfast Giants went on and completed that historic treble for that team. And that was meant to be for them. And I echo what Dan said, the final was awesome. And it was, you know, two fast teams going at it. And I felt that for a lot of the game, it looked like it was going the devil's way. And then obviously the Giants just, there was no stopping them in the end.
Yeah, Dan, it was a tale of Tyler Beskarwani, Panthers outshooting the Giants on Saturday, but Beskarwani was just on top form all afternoon.
Yeah, I think there was a definite bit in that first period where obviously the Giants came out and got that big lead. We got one back. And I think even though the first period was 3-1, I think it easily could have been 3-3. You know, I think that was the time where I think we had 17 shots in the first. And I really don't think we deserved to be losing by 2 goals, but we were. And then it was almost a case of every time we got one back, they got one, and we never really got close enough. But I think if we could have come out of that first period tied with them, which we probably deserved to be, it would have been neck and neck the whole way. But I think they got that lead. Beskarwani kind of kept us at bay, and then their team settled in, and then they never really looked like giving it up. But like Ken said, I think it, I don't want to say flattered them, but, you know, I think 6-3 looks like quite an inflated score where, you know, I think they will admit it was a lot closer than that. But, you know, he played great, and obviously they've got a great team from top to bottom, so they fully deserve the win.
Yeah, Ken, Panthers were never really out of it. It was that 3-goal lead that really did us early on. But once we got one back, and then it was 4-2, and then Hizeski got us to 5-3. There was always that little bit of hope, but Giants just had too much for us, didn't they?
Yeah, I think you know, yeah, you've got to remember we did outshoot them more or less 2-1, and there, I think Levy in front had a really kind of good chance, and that was that we didn't convert that, and then there was a pass. I seem to remember pass back, was it Jeremy Welsh sort of was looking at quite an open net at one point, and that pass went through the more or less through the crease to him, and I think that was, you know, that went begging. So like you say, a couple of those go in, and it's a different game. But I suppose it sort of reflected our season really of failing to score enough goals. And like I say, when the game's that tight and you're not scoring, things like, you know, them shooting it in off your netminder's heel into the goal and that sort of thing just don't help. And as I say, it could have done with him having having a game like he had in that first game against Guildford, where he was an absolute brick wall. And I just think, you know what, it just wasn't meant to be. And you know, whilst I think you say the scoreline flattered the Giants, they were completely worthy winners. And there's no, you know, no ifs, no buts. And to be quite honest, glad to I guess draw a line under this season, really.
Before we move on and talk about our new head coach, a couple of really positive performances I do want to bring out from the weekend. Jack Hopkins scoring in both games, his first and second goals of the season, both absolute crackers as well. And also on Sunday, Zane McKenzie getting his Panthers debut. He's been training with the Panthers since November. Corey Nielsen giving me his chance in the starting lineup. He got a point. He got an assist on the first goal. And he had a very, very good game in that third, fourth place playoff.
Yeah, I think Jack's obviously, you know, been playing away a lot of this year in Milton Keynes. But I think he hasn't had too many games where he's had what I would call like a regular shift. And I think it just proves that he's probably ready for that. You know, he's obviously not going to be a massive point production player just yet. But I think from both of those games, you know, you could see he could easily play, you know, 10, 12 minutes a night. And even when he's not scoring, he's physical, he's creating, you know, he's kind of getting better all the time. So, you know, hopefully he'll be a player next year if he's with us and he's in the same kind of role. Maybe he'll just get elevated a little bit, like we saw with Ollie Bettridge. You know, year on year, he kind of grew into a bigger and bigger role. Zane, obviously, don't know too much about him. Seen him practice a bit and obviously in that game, but he looks like another one. Obviously, he's on a two-way as well. He maybe needs a little bit more time to just kind of develop. But again, it's just another young player that hopefully Panthers can keep in the system, maybe on that two-way deal. And then, you know, eventually over time, start sliding him in a bit more. And if there's ever injuries or suspensions, anything like that, he's just another good player that we've kind of got on the book. So yeah, the future looks bright.
Yeah, go on, Ken. Zane McKenzie, probably a surprise to some. I noticed on social media, people saying, who's this wearing a number 17 shirt? He has been training with the team for quite a while, but he put in a great performance.
Yeah, and I think we don't always, I mean, like you say, he's been training with the team, but I'll be honest, I wasn't, like, it was a surprise to me. I was like, who's this chap, you know, giving a great account of himself and getting out there, and he said in, you know, in his interview how the biggest crowd he's ever performed in front of. So that's a great thing to see. And I think with what's happening with things like import levels, both in our league and in the lower leagues and the overall plan, I mean, you do sort of wonder, and obviously probably we'll talk about it again in reference to the new coach because of his history in terms of development of young players. But I feel like it is so important that these players are brought through and they're kept properly in the orbit of the big teams, like, you know, like Nottingham and Sheffield, Belfast, Cardiff, or in fact all of the teams, to get the opportunity to be developed. And I think that's the future as well of the British national team as well.
Absolutely is. Well, we'll leave the playoff finals weekend there, the last action for the Panthers of this 22-23 season. And we'll start by looking ahead to 23-24. And it was announced on Sunday morning that Corey Nielsen will be leaving his position as head coach of the Panthers to take up a position in Europe. And his replacement was announced on Tuesday. Jonathan Paradis comes in. The Frenchman has been head coach of Serge Pointois. Did I get that right, Ken?
Yeah, I think we've been practicing pronunciation.
We have been practicing.
Pointois.
Six seasons he's been there. He joined them when they were in the French second tier. That first season, they went to a relegation playoff where they could have gone down to tier three. They stayed up another two seasons in the second tier. They gained promotion to the Ligue Magnus in 2019-20, and three seasons in the Ligue Magnus, finishing fifth, fourth, and fourth, and have been to the semi-finals of the French playoffs in the last two seasons. So we'll start with you, Dan. What are your impressions of Jonathan Paradis from what's been said so far?
Yeah, he seems excellent. Obviously, you know, listen to his interview and obviously what Omar said about him. You know, I just think kind of where he's come from, you know, he's kind of brought a team, you know, he's coached a lot of junior players, but he's brought a team up from the lower leagues and kind of followed them all the way up and, you know, taken them from this probably, you know, quite a small market team into a sort of top team in that league. But I think just the way he speaks, I think, you know, the kind of things we were maybe missing this year, he seems very big on, you know, passion, intensity, playing with speed, playing with heart. And I think a lot of the Panthers fans think, you know, maybe the last couple of years we've probably missed that. So, you know, I think rather than getting a guy with maybe a really big resume, you know, Omar's gone for someone that it's not as important where he's played. It's more the style of play, his passion, his enthusiasm. I spoke to a guy who's played for him just briefly earlier and tried to get a bit of info, and he just said that he's pretty hard on the guys. He wants them to work hard. You know, he wants intensity, practices are hard. But he said, you know, the guys all love him. He's a really good guy. So yeah, I think it's all positive. Obviously a little bit of an unknown in terms of, you know, obviously we don't know loads about the French league. I mean, kind of comparing it to this league, it's probably quite a similar standard, but maybe the style of play is a bit different. But I think you just have to back him. And, you know, they've talked a lot about signing guys with a lot of speed and skill. And again, I think that's something we probably lacked a bit this year. So I think he speaks very well. You know, he seems very excited to come. And yeah, it looks great so far. Obviously, time will tell. I'm sure once the signings start kind of drifting through, you'll start to put the team together how you can kind of picture it, and you know, maybe in 6 weeks time we can make a bit more of a, you know, detailed assessment. But yes, so far so good for me, I think.
And Ken, we saw a lot of comments from Serge fans on social media regarding their appointment. Not one of them had anything negative to say about him, and they're quite heartbroken that he's left them.
Yeah, I was going through with my sort of like translate tweet.
Yeah.
And what was quite, I mean, obviously you got some comments where obviously Panthers fans, you know, understandably after the last few kind of false starts and issues that we've had, you know, expressing their views, if you like, of what their thoughts are, and I think it's always interesting to write somebody off before they've even got to the, you know, got into the UK and taken up the reins. But you know, everyone's entitled to an opinion, and that's fine. But to see the Serge Pontoise fans getting involved on there with their comments, I think the best one, you know, sort of saying that we're a callous nation that, you know, we basically don't give anyone a chance. And someone else had put, translated it, said, le roast beef, or the roast beef never change.
Yes, yeah, I saw that.
Which is obviously what the French refer to as. But what was clear through that, and you saw a comment, you showing that been on the YouTube interview as well. It's clear that both players that have played for him and fans that have watched his teams are really, really kind of pro this guy, and you know, very sad to see him leave, which is always a good, I guess, a good sign. My view, I think, if you look back at kind of what we've tried that sort of experienced old hand, journeyman sort of coach. We've tried that Richard Chernomaz, Gary Graham, those styles. We've gone for, I guess both Gary Graham, and I'd put Gary Graham probably into the same camp as Rich Chernomaz. They're both probably coaches that, in a way, it would have been interesting to see at the Panthers, like maybe 10 to 15 years ago, back when maybe the players were different, maybe attitudes were different in terms of what players respond to. Because, I mean, I see it in terms of the young people that are coming into my work environment nowadays are very different to a different way of thinking, different way of behaving, and different sort of things that motivate them to what I would have had at the same sort of age. And I think culture is the thing that Omar's centering on, and changing the culture on the ice and how that identity is set up. And I think probably some of the values that I would certainly say, if a coach came in and says, well, I'm going to be really hard on the guys, and when they're not performing, I'm going to kick the bin over and really, read the riot act to them. I think actually what I'm starting to realize is that doesn't work now, that the players switch off to that, because I think the mentality and the mental makeup of younger players now is not such that then I don't think they can take being spoken to in that way, and I think it has a complete opposite effect. So I think what this coach is about is obviously challenging, but doing that in a slightly different way, which is probably more the way the modern game functions and the way modern players' mindsets function. And that's going to be really interesting to see, because as I say, we've tried all different conversation. We might as well try this.
Yeah, I mean, he's only a young man, 42 years old. Just going back to what you were saying, Henri Bussy, the French national netminder, was the one who commented on YouTube where someone was asking about keywords: identity, ethics, speed, passion, culture. And they were sort of saying, now, where have I heard these words before? And Henri Bussy replied and said, trust me, I played for him for 2 years, and that's going to be the identity of your team. And Dan, when you hear a testimonial like that from such an experienced player, a French national team player in Poulet, you can't help but get excited for that.
No, definitely. I think, it's all one thing, him saying it, and obviously it all sounds good, in his interview, and, Omar obviously says the same thing. But when you hear players that have played for him, like the guy I spoke to earlier, played from a few years ago, both kind of backing those things up, then it's obvious that it's not kind of, let's just tell the fans what they want to hear. It's actually going to be true. So, I'm sure Ken will agree. They're the kind of things that you listed a minute ago that I think not only were we lacking, but we just want, we want an identity. We want to be passionate. We want to play with intensity and, speed and physicality. And it sounds like, guys love playing for him. And we all know when you've got a coach or a boss that you enjoy being around and you respect it, it makes you work that bit harder. So, yeah, I think, so far so good. Everything he says seems to be true, and everybody's backed it up. And I look forward to seeing some of his signings.
Yeah, sorry, Ken.
No, I was just saying, I echo Dan's sentiments. I think where I am as well is probably going into last season, I was like really, I was listening, and the things Gary was saying in his interviews, and how he's going to be, what he's going to do. And it was really like, I was thinking, oh, this is great. It's really resonating with me and everything. And I think after the season that we've just had, there's part of me that goes, okay, do you know what? Actually, I'm going to watch. I'm going to take everything that's said and go, okay, you know, those are good words. But ultimately, I think I'm going to be in the camp of a lot of fans who are currently sort of like, you know, hovering over that decision to purchase a season ticket for next season. And I hope they do. But I'll reserve my judgment until we're a few games in and I see that identity and I see that ambition. And that's kind of where, you know, I think because that's, I want to, I less talk about it and more delivery of it. That's what I want to see. And, you know, I hope the fans back that and come and, you know, see it delivered. That's what I want to see.
I mean, I saw a few comments regarding the fact that he's never played in or never coached in the Elite League before. And usually somebody new coming into the Elite League doesn't necessarily do great straight off the bat. But when you look at some of the players that who he's had or who he's coached while he's been in France, the likes of Steve Aoury and Ryan Tate, who both had outstanding next seasons in the Elite League this season. From a Panthers perspective, Patrick Munson has played for him, Robbie Baggio this year. Fabrizio Ricci played for him when he was coach of Dijon. So, yeah, he knows the type of players that play in the Elite League. And when you look at the likes of Steve Aoury and Ryan Tate, he's clearly coached talented players who have gone on to better things.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, you've named, you know, three or four really good ones there. And yeah, I think guys coming into this league maybe do struggle a bit to start with, but most of them are coming from North America. Whereas with him coming from France, the kind of structure of the league is a lot more similar. You know, in North America, it's lots of games. The league doesn't really matter. It's all about the playoffs, where, although the playoffs are still big in France, it's a bit similar to mm-hmm. our culture. You know, it's a bit more of a football culture. And so I think that will help. And having coached a lot of players, like you said, that have played in this league, and I'm sure he'll speak to them and get some advice. And yeah, I just think, I know what people think, and I kind of agree. I think when a new coach does come here, it's very difficult at the start because the league is very unique. But I think coming from France rather than North America, he's already halfway there. And, you know, obviously having Omar to lean on, who's kind of been a coach, a GM, a player, everything in this league, I think that will help him. Having a lot of players like the ones you just named that have played in this league, that will help him. And yeah, maybe he can just get on the phone to a couple of those you just mentioned and see if they maybe want to come to the Panthers next year.
Well, it would be nice. Certainly would be nice. But one of the things that Omar said in his interview as well was about surrounding Jonathan with the right people. From that, I took it to mean like assistant coaches and a coaching team. Famously, Gary Graham came in and said that he didn't want an assistant coach, but such is the game these days that you need as many pairs of eyes looking at that team as possible.
Yeah, I think, yeah, obviously, I don't know what he wants or needs in terms of that. Like you said, Gary didn't have anyone. Obviously, Corey normally always does. So whether he's going to bring someone maybe from France with him, or someone he knows well with him, or maybe someone, maybe, you know, Rick, or maybe someone else here in, or, you know, in, even in the organization, or someone else from, you know, the Elite League or somewhere will maybe help him. I'm not sure, obviously, in France, what he's had in the way of assistance and, you know, other things. But yeah, you know, I'm sure Omar will obviously be there to help. And there's kind of a slot around him to obviously help with kind of all different aspects of things. But yeah, I think it'll be his call. I'm sure he will either have an assistant or, you know, some other people around, you know, analysts, whatever it is, you know. So yeah, I guess we just have to wait and see. But I think he'll either bring someone with him, or he'll maybe know someone here or want to take someone from here that can maybe partner up with him, maybe not full time, but someone that can maybe help him out with practices and things like that. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, Ken.
Yeah, I mean, just looking into sort of his background and a few things that kind of stand out, that his actual coaching history dates all the way back to 2006, 2007, looking at as a player coach. So he's got that. He's actually got many years of experience, both a player coach, assistant coach, head coach, at different levels of the game, and also involved in varying levels within the national side as well. So from a staff point of view, and from a, you know, you don't get those positions or those opportunities unless you are a collegiate person who's kind of used to dealing with a team, not just being an island, you know, my way or the highway. And I think what the other thing that stands out to me is that whilst he's obviously not been in this league and he's spent his time in France, he's got long periods of association with the teams that he's been with. So he's, you know, involved in Dijon for many years, and then, you know, moving to Cergy Pontoise. So he's got that. He seems to be quite settled once he's in a position somewhere. And that would say to me that from a cultural point of view, and yeah, do you know what? It'd be great if next year we went and we won every single trophy. But do I think that's going to happen? I'd love to think it might. But if you're building a hockey culture and you're building a team and you are changing things in the way that I think this coach will do in terms of both youth development and in terms of the side that he wants to build and the culture he wants to bring, as Dan says, you know, that's probably going to take some time. And looking at this guy's career so far, he is prepared to invest the time. You don't, I mean, was it you, John, that said it's the equivalent of taking Swindon Wildcats into the Elite League, sort of what he's done over there on a limited budget? Was that your
pretty,
was that
someone, someone else's
quote? It might have been someone else, I don't know.
But it's a great comparison, because it is very similar to that. He's taken the team from the lower reaches of the second tier that was bouncing in between the second and third tiers in France, and has taken them to challenge for the Ligue Magnus title within six seasons.
But you know, he's not had the largest budget to work with in that scenario, I don't think.
From what I've been looking at, they've had the seventh biggest budget in Ligue Magnus. And they've consistently finished higher than that.
Right. Okay. So that, I mean, and you mentioned those players that he's worked with, that he's found. I think I'm really excited about it, to be honest with you. And I'm really trying to, like, I'm trying not to be. I'm trying to be. I'm trying. Do you know what? I'm super excited about it. If I was a Panthers fan right now, I'd be really excited, because I think, do you know what? Like Dan says, we've tried player coach that's you know, experienced in the league. We've tried you know, journeyman. We've tried all of these options that haven't worked. This guy. Yeah, I'm really, really, really excited, and I just hope that that's not misplaced excitement, because I want to watch an exciting team. Yes, I do the DJing, and yes, I do the announcing and everything, but I'm a fan first and foremost, and I want to be entertained myself as well. And you know, I think I'm really, yeah, really, really excited about it. In fact, I'm probably trying to play down just how excited I am.
And we all want to hear more yelps from Dan on commentary.
That
can be put into an end of season montage once again. Right, before we go, as we're running out of time, we'll just quickly look ahead to Great Britain, because obviously Great Britain start their warm-up games this week on Saturday at the arena against Latvia. They've also got another game at the arena on the 26th of April against Hungary, and then the World Championships start at the Motorpoint Arena on the 29th of April. Tickets are available for all those. So Great Britain, Dan, it's exciting time to be around, and you know, they've got a really great chance of going straight back up to the top level.
Yeah, I think they've got a really, again, you know, I don't want to oversell it, but, you know, I really do think they've got a great chance. And it's crazy how far they've come that, you know, a few years ago before they went up, they were in this pool and people thought they would get relegated. They obviously won it, but now we're almost expected to win that group. But I think, you know, you don't want to downplay the opposition. There are some other strong nations in there, but I think the fact that, you know, we're at home, you know, we've sort of got a full team, hopefully, touch wood, you know, as of now, to kind of pick from, that there's really no reason we can't go ahead. You know, I think obviously Italy are going to be good. I think it's great that we play them the last game. You know, it's almost would be great if it came down to that last game. It'd be like a cup final to see who goes up. I also think when you get relegated, the longer you stay down, and it gets hard. Same as in football, you know, it gets harder and harder to go back up. But I think the fact we just came down, if we can just bounce straight back up, you know, we've got basically the same team. And I think with Liam Kirk now, we maybe even got a better team than we had in Paul A last year. So, yeah, I think it's at home, really good team, you know, good coaching. Most of those guys have been together a long time. I hope we go straight back up. I think it'll be a great end to the season, you know, for all those guys. And, you know, obviously there'll be, you know, one or two guys maybe won't play for GB after. Obviously, Jonathan Phillips definitely won't. So for him going out, I think it'll be great. Should be some good games. So, yeah, I'm hoping they do it. And I think it'll be a great end to the season.
Ben, you're going to be DJing for the championships. Looking forward to it.
Really excited about that because you know, it's not often that the World Championships comes to Nottingham, to you, you know, your hometown. So that opportunity and that honour to do that, I'm really, really looking forward to it. Be interesting doing three games a day for a period. And I've heard on the grapevine that there's three power breaks per period. So there will be plenty of opportunities to try and get the crowd going. So that'll be interesting. Sophie's top tip. Sophie Rouse has been to a number of World Championships. Was make sure I bring lots of energy drinks because I'll need them for the to get through the three games a day. And then obviously really, really pleased to be back doing the warm-up games as well. So I'll be there on Saturday night for that warm-up game against Latvia and then on Wednesday against Hungary as well. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to it, actually. After a long season, it will be really, really nice to get behind the national side and see what they can do in the warm-ups and also in the tournament. And hopefully we can propel them with enough energy into promotion as well.
Let's hope so. Well, gents, I think we'll leave it there as we are rapidly running out of time. Thanks so much for coming along to this special podcast and, enjoy your summer, gents.
Thank you.
Yes, we'll do. Hopefully we'll do a few more of these kind of as the summer progresses when we get some signings or get some exciting info. I'm sure we'll all be back together to do a few more.
I'm sure we will. Well, thank you for listening and thanks for joining us. And we will talk to you again as the summer goes on. But for now, it's goodbye.